This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest Nick Anderson won this year's Pulitzer Prize for editorial cartooning. The judges praised him for his unusual graphic style that produced extraordinarily thoughtful and powerful messages. His award-winning cartoons covered the war in Iraq, the Bush administration, Congress, and the connection between religion and politics. Lately, he's been drawing some Republicans with cheap little halos attached to their heads. Anderson will actually receive the Pulitzer at a ceremony next month. The 38-year-old cartoonist works for the Louisville Courier-Journal and has been syndicated since 1996. Nick Anderson, welcome to Fresh Air and congratulations on the Pulitzer Prize.
Thank you.
Let's start with one of the cartoons in the Pulitzer Prize-winning batch of cartoons that you submitted, and this is from June 9th. Would you describe it for us?
Yes, the setting is in the Oval Office, and George Bush is sitting at his desk, and on his desk is a memo, an infamous Justice Department memo, which says, torture justified if Commander-in-Chief deems it necessary. And there's an aide standing off to the side saying, Saddam Hussein wants to hire your lawyers.
What kind of reaction did you get to this? Were people angry that you were finding some kind of comparison between our president and Saddam Hussein?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've had to deal with that for the past couple of years. There's been a great deal of that kind of reaction, and this was just one of those many cartoons that solicited that kind of reaction, that you don't dare compare our government to those of others. And there are times when we do things that aren't particularly attractive, and they need to be pointed out.
While we're talking about a cartoon with President Bush in it, why don't you describe how you draw the president?
I generally draw him relatively small and with big ears and with sort of a large space between his nose and mouth. I emphasize those features that I think are – I exaggerate those features that I think should be exaggerated based on the way he looks.
Why do you emphasize the distance between the nose and the mouth?
I that's what I see when I look at him.
Well, let's do
it. Are you trying to say he looks like a chimp? I bring that up as a little girl. many people have said that to me, that I draw him like a chimp.
Oh, really? No, I wasn't even thinking that. No, not at all.
Many people have said that to me.
And what do you respond?
Well, a little girl once asked me why I make him look like a chimp, and I responded, I don't make him look like a chimp. God made him look like a chimp. She didn't find that very amusing. I have a feeling I'm going to be getting some phone calls.
One of the things that really amazed me about editorial cartoonists such as you is that you not only have to have like a strong set of opinions every week, you have to take those mm-hmm. opinions and encapsulate them in a drawing with a few words mm-hmm. on it. That's really quite a gift. I'm wondering if any of the opinions you have been expressing surprise you, if you're surprised ever at your own opinions?
That's a good question. I haven't thought of it that way. Sometimes, you know, during the 90s, most of my readers and I considered myself center-left, moderate. I gave it to both sides pretty good. And the last 4 years, I have been firing in one direction generally, and that surprises me. I don't have any regrets about that, but I think it says more about where the country has moved than it does about my own politics. My own politics haven't changed. I would say they've changed almost not at all since the mid-90s, but the country has gotten more conservative.
Now, you're syndicated, but your mm-hmm. cartoons originate in a paper in Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And how would you describe the politics of your readership in Louisville?
It's pretty mixed. I mean, the county itself went for Kerry, but the metropolitan area is probably errs a little bit more on the conservative side. The state is a red state. The city itself is pretty blue. So it's a very, very interesting and stimulating place to work, because you have very intense feelings on both sides, and you hear from both sides. It's pretty even. I would say my response from readers runs about 50-50, positive to negative.
What's the most controversial cartoon you ever did?
There was one last year. It's probably one of the more recent ones that I've done that's controversial. Coffins coming off the airplane from Iraq, and George Bush is saying to Cheney, they're looking at the coffins, and Bush is saying to Cheney, I guess their daddies didn't know the right people. And as you can imagine, that caused a lot of uproar. But I thought it was fair commentary.
Have you ever had cartoons that were killed by your editors because they thought they were, you know, it was too inflammatory? Not necessarily because they disagreed with you, but because they thought the editorial was too extreme in its language or design, or in the way it spoofed or caricatured political figures.
It almost never happens. I'm lucky to have very daring editors and a very daring publisher who feel that it's better to be controversial than to be boring, and that you actually engage readers over time if you're willing to challenge them. And although they protest, they do tend to come back. And I think people, you know, the secret that talk radio seems to have discovered and that newspapers haven't is that controversy does not drive people away. It brings them in. And a lot of newspaper editorial boards are just far too safe. And I'm lucky to work at a paper where they do tend to be a little more daring. And the only time they really have an issue is when it's an issue of taste, and they think it's borderline on taste, and then we might try to clean it up a little bit. But that doesn't happen very often.
What's an example of one of those?
Well, we had one recently. The Alaskan National Wildlife Refuge, I did a cartoon. I was actually drawing it the day I found out that I'd won the Pulitzer, and I didn't have time to finish it that day, but I ended up printing it about a week later. I had a woman, a beautiful woman in a white dress, and she's wearing a sash, and it says Virgin Wilderness Territory, and there's a great big hairy ugly guy approaching her, and he's saying, or she's saying to him, is that an oil rig in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? he's labeled big oil. So the publisher kind of winced when I showed it to him. I went straight down to his office because I knew I had to clear it at the top, and he kind of winced but laughed. And he suggested taking off the "or are you just happy to see me?" So it ended up just saying, "Is it an oil rig in your pocket?" Or, and that actually cleaned it up enough that we had a few protests, but not very many. And the point of the cartoon was made without having to pull it back too much.
Why is there such a big difference if you leave out "or are you just happy to see me"? I mean, most people know that that's the punchline. Does it make it?
It leaves it to the imagination, yeah, rather than making it explicit. And it for younger readers who don't know the line, they might not make the connection themselves. So that makes it, the more that you can leave to the imagination, the better, I think.
I'm sure our listeners have noticed by now that your editorial cartoons, on the whole, have been very critical of the Bush administration,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
of the Republican House. And the Pulitzers have actually been criticized by some people for consistently giving the prize for editorial cartooning to liberal editorial cartoonists. Let me actually excerpt a letter that I read on a website. Mm-hmm. We have expressed our disappointment in several respects with this year's Pulitzer Awards. Virtually every one of Nick Anderson's prize-winning cartoons is a vicious, hateful attack on President Bush, the U.S., or Christianity. There may be more virulent haters in America than Nick Anderson, but based on this collection, there can't be many. So have you had to respond to general criticisms, not only about your work, but about the Pulitzers being given to liberal cartoonists?
Yeah, just parenthetically, I looked at that website, and to the right of all that diatribe about what a hater I am, there's an ad for a T-shirt. You could buy a T-shirt that says ACLU on it, and the C, instead of being a C, is a Soviet hammer and sickle. So I guess that kind of vitriol is only objectionable when it's coming from one side. But also, the larger issue of whether the Pulitzers are awarded too often to liberals, I think it's a valid issue. I think if you look at it statistically, more liberals have certainly won. I think it's more useful to look at the portfolios that have won, and I haven't done that, but my suspicion, and I've seen many of them, but I haven't seen them in aggregate, my suspicion is that the Pulitzers are often awarded to people who are challenging those in power, who are performing a watchdog function of government, which I think is what the media should ultimately be doing. And I think conservatives tend to be more reluctant to criticize their own than liberals are. It's not that they don't do it, they just don't seem to do it with the same zeal that liberals do. And what I'm driving at is during the 90s, you had many liberals zealously going after the Clinton and Gore team. and many of them won for portfolios that were critical of the Clinton administration. So to say that it's just conservatives or conservatives are being shut out, I think it misses the point a little bit. And, I have some sympathy for those people because some of my friends are conservative cartoonists, but I think that to make the case against the Pulitzer Board, you have to look at the portfolios that have won rather than the identity of the cartoonists.
Are there mistakes that you made when you started out as an editorial cartoonist, things you were naive about, that you've subsequently learned not to do?
Nothing really strikes me as naive. I would say that I've put a lot more time into the artwork the past few years than I did in my first, 5 or 6 years at the Courier-Journal, because I kind of remembered why I got into this. I used to spend most of my day trying to think of the perfect idea, and I'd get frustrated because I couldn't, and I ended up throwing together a drawing at the last minute, and it wouldn't be particularly attractive or compelling. I think a compelling image really does help draw the reader in, and it enhances the impact of the editorial intent of the cartoon. And I've really put a lot more time and effort into the drawings the past few years, and it's actually I've enjoyed the job a lot more because of that. I'm having a lot more fun with the execution and not just the creating. And ironically, I think the ideas have also gotten better because I'm having more fun.
One thing I want to say about your drawing style is that, some editorial cartoons, it's just a kind of like outline sketch of the characters and the desk. And with yours, like things are shaded or colored in. Mm-hmm. There's variation in black and white and gray tones. And it's much more like a finished drawing than a lot of editorial cartoons.
Now, are you looking at color or black and white?
I'm looking at black and white.
Okay. I do it may be noteworthy that we've gotten color presses this year, which has invigorated my drawing style.
Oh.
And I'm doing all of these in color. I do a line drawing the way I have always done, and I scan it into the computer, and I use a program called Painter made by a company called Corel that is just an amazing program, and it simulates the look of natural media like watercolors and things like that. And I spend about 2 hours a day just in the color, and that actually I think can sometimes enhance the editorial impact of a cartoon. I didn't think it would at first, but I've not only enjoyed the artwork more, but can I bring up another cartoon as an example?
Sure.
It was another one in the Pulitzer package. It's "What's Wrong with This Picture" is the caption. And in one frame, the first frame, it's a soldier trying to up-armor his Humvee, and it's all shot up, and it's obviously not in very good shape. And in the next panel, it's obviously back in the United States, and there's a guy saying, "Look what I bought with my tax cut," and he's driving a bright new yellow a Humvee with a "Support Our Troops" bumper sticker on it. And the color in this cartoon really enhances the editorial impact, because in the first panel you have this dusty, hot colors, oranges and yellows, and in the second panel I use sort of children's book colors, blue and yellow and green.
I'm surprised that you have color on your editorial page.
It's pretty unusual, and we did just get new presses, and they're state-of-the-art, and their color reproduction is incredible. There aren't many opportunities for cartoonists to use color in their daily papers. The internet gives them the opportunity to use color if they wish, but it's nice to work in color every day.
Maybe this is naive. I also think it's interesting that instead of like drawing in the colors, that you tune that up with a software program.
Mm-hmm. And it is very similar to using real media, though. I have a tablet in a electronic pen, and it's pressure sensitive, so I look at the screen and I'm drawing on a tablet, and I'm drawing and I'm painting with the tablet.
Oh,
so I'm not using a mouse. It's very intuitive, and it's similar to using real media, except that if you make a mistake, you can just undo it. So it's actually better. And I use watercolors, and I can do a command that makes the watercolor dry, or I can keep it wet and have the colors bleed into one another, or I can command it to dry, which you can't do. It would be impossible for me to do this with real watercolor because I wouldn't have time.
So tell us a story of how you found out that you won the Pulitzer.
Well, the finalists had been leaked out, and about 5 weeks before the Pulitzers were announced, the finalists had been leaked out. It's a two-stage process. There's a first jury that weeds it down to three people, and then the Pulitzer Board picks from those three generally. And I had seen the finalist list, and I was not on it because there was a mistake in, by the leaker, and they said the Lexington cartoonist rather than the Louisville cartoonist. So the entire time, my friend in Lexington, who has won it before, fortunately, had taken all the anxiety of wondering whether he was going to be the winner or not, and I had no idea. And the day that they had made the announcements of who won, I hadn't even bothered to check the website to see who had won, because I figured I wasn't a factor, and I figured it was actually going to be Gary Trudeau, who most people expected was going to win this year. And then my editor's assistant starts screaming for me at around 3:15, screaming for me to get my behind down to his office, and she doesn't stop screaming, so I figure I've either done something really good or really bad. And I've walked very slowly down to his office. I've never heard her scream that way, so I didn't know what was going on, but it made me a little nervous. And I got into his office, and he greeted me as the next Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoonist. And I must have looked stunned, because he grabbed me by the shoulder and pulled me to his computer to show me.
Is there any cartoon you would like to leave us with?
Yeah, I would like to talk about another one. And this one is I drew after George Bush gave George Tenet the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and I just thought that was outrageous. This is a guy who apparently told Bush that the WMDs in Iraq were a slam dunk, and he's getting rewarded for this. He's getting an award for this. So I actually did a cartoon that was a reference, obscure reference for most people, to a Robert Minor cartoon. It's a World War I cartoon where a German soldier is saying, "At last, the perfect soldier," and it's a huge, muscular soldier without a head. I thought that was a pretty good metaphor here. I have Bush saying, "At last, a perfect employee," and he's got the medal, and he's about to hang it around the neck of a guy without a head, and it's labeled blind loyalty, because I felt like he was rewarding Tenet for loyalty, not for performance.
Reaction to the cartoons?
Similar, you know, un-American, how dare you, that kind of thing. I get a lot of reaction that tells me I'm un-American. That's been a pretty recurring theme since September 11th. And you just have to ignore that, because dissent, there's nothing more American than dissent, in my opinion.
Well, Nick Anderson, congratulations again on your Pulitzer, and thank you very much
thank
for
you.
Talking with us.
Thanks.
Nick Anderson is the editorial cartoonist for the Louisville Courier-Journal. You can see some of his Pulitzer Prize-winning cartoons on our website, freshair.com.